You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. You can be a part. Join us on the lines or the text 855-752-4842. Jess P.S. back on the board working hard for you and jazzed as hell. It's 5 o'clock on Monday. It means our pal Harvey K., our favorite Delano Democrat, New Deal Democrat, call it what you want. He is a professor emeritus of democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and a frequent guest. Welcome back, Harvey.
Good to see you guys. I look forward to it all week into the weekend.
As do we. History, man. You are a history buff, and we need your input these days, certainly. Some breaking news we want to get out there before we start talking about the tariffs, and the breaking news has to do with the tariffs. CNN, the Chiron Report, and also Washington Post, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said in a social media post that the United States had agreed to pause threatened tariffs for at least 30 days. The announcement followed two phone calls with Trump on Monday and came after the United States and Mexico reached a similar agreement. In a tweet, Trudeau said he had a good call with Trump and will appoint a fentanyl czar and implement the $900 million border plan that his government announced in December. So there is the breaking news of what we haven't heard anything yet back on is regarding the 10% tariffs on China. But apparently there is a 30-day pause on the 25% tariffs assigned to Canada and Mexico, which the Wall Street Journal called the dumbest trade war. RBK, welcome. Your thoughts on this particular go-around, sir?
Look, let's be honest. This is a double win for Trump. It's a double win. What it showed is that despite his total obnoxiousness as a foreign affairs president, both Mexico and Canada have decided they would do something, basically something to respond to his tariffs and get them suspended. So that is a victory. The question is, what happens at the end of 30 days?
Now, right.
This is wild. And he probably likes the idea of 30 days because it keeps everyone in suspense, like a TV show.
Yeah, know? But the markets don't like that, Harvey. You know, the markets like stability. And today, the VIX was at 13%, man. And if there's anything, as some of the reporting that I've seen, you know, they sent troops, 10,000 troops to the border when Biden was president. And you didn't have to roil the markets in order to do so. So I'm of the nefarious mind. I think these cats are playing games. I think he has, as the administration, as Donald Trump has the ability to put on these tariffs, it's basically a shakedown. And if they know what's going to happen, he can put them on and take them off, and the markets will react. The market? But come on, man. I look at this occult with everything else. You look at the inspectors general that have been fired. Look at the FBI, the shakeup over there. You look at the SEC now saying that any investigation has to go through the political appointees, according to Reuters. I see a lot of consolidation of power and take that in conjunction with what, like Elon Musk getting access to the payment systems. And now Donald Trump is going to be what, reporting all the budgetary information. All comes from this administration. How do we know if they're taking 0.001% off the top, Harvey?
Well, just assume they are. Just assume they are. Right. But I keep thinking about how he wants to keep his base, the MAGA, believing in him in the short term. So, yeah, I mean, it may well turn out that he'll back off these kinds of things. The markets will go back. Think about the fun he'll have that when he lifts. I'm serious. When he lifts these tariffs and tariff threats, how the market will go up, and he'll say, the market's never been healthier. I mean, we're talking here about a guy who's running a presidency that's based on hit and run, shock and awe. I mean, a whole series of things. Now, does that mean that I think your idea, your theory is a good one about how to play the market? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right about all that, too. It's just a question. We'll find out.
We'll find out. And again, given, as one of our texters points out in the reporting from the Washington Post, Canada already had this $900 billion effort passed by their government. There have already been troops at the border, up to 15,000 from some of the reporting. So it's not like any of this seemingly is out of the norm. It's just that he makes a big deal out of it, trying to, you know, give his performative, perhaps to your point, Harvey, to show the megas that he's strong. I don't know if that's strong for competent countries to do what they've been doing already under other administrations, but if that makes him feel better, okay, a little pat on the head and don't kill, nuke the world, Donald Trump. I guess we'll take that as victory.
Yeah. You know, I had a little Christmas. By the way, I have a Canadian friend.
Yeah.
Isn't funny. Just this afternoon, I had a Canadian friend who launched his own, what do they call him, Substack.
Oh, sure.
He's a writer. Mm-hmm. He is a writer by profession. And in his first Substack issue or, you know, installment, he actually said he expected Trump and our friends in Canada and Mexico to come to an agreement that would enable Trump to suspend or lift it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I just, you know, I mean, I know that one would have to have a crystal ball right now to know what the next thing is or what's been going behind the news of this breaking. How many times a day we're going to get breaking news?
Yeah.
What's going on behind the breaking news? Probably, look, that story that you referred to, that Musk now has access to like $6 trillion by way of the passwords in the office. Is that Office of Management and Budget? Hold on a sec. What is that? He's now got access by way of.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but he does have access to like $6 trillion, okay, in the payment systems, to my understanding, Harvey.
Right. Well, an additional thing, one of my former students sent me a piece from Forbes that said that he wants to place the dollar on the blockchain. And all I could say was to my former student, what the hell is a blockchain? Yeah. Which is apparently the market of such, of Bitcoin, et cetera, right? Is that it?
Yes, and I'm not into it much as well, but Cam or some of our friends are saying, yes, Elon wants to put the treasury on blockchain, which sounds very bad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, well, I don't want this is and again, getting to the very core of what we are as a country. I mean, if you start pilfering to the nth degree out of the treasury, man, you know, this country survives on the faith and goodwill and hard work of the American people, the full faith and credit. Right, Harvey? I mean, that's what our bonds are backed by. They're not backed by gold. They're backed by the full faith and credit of the American people. And if we got people like Musk and Trump starting to dip their dirty little hands in it and start messing with blockchain or wanting to get some sort of if they want to start playing games and doing Bitcoin and what you're going to use the government, the faith of the American people to back up Bitcoin and these other things as well. I think this is a very, very dangerous path, in my opinion, because the last thing we want is bailout of Bitcoin.
Look, I think you'll agree that in any reasonable period of history, in the sense of where presidential administration had the best interest of the American people at heart, given what we've witnessed, Musk would be in jail. And along with the politician who enabled his maneuverings. I mean, he's not a government official.
No.
And right now, you know what? I thought about this the other night. I thought, do you know who, God, I just blanked on the name. The Russian wizard as such. Early 20th century.
Rasputin.
Thank. Was you about to say that, Jess?
Yeah, good job, mm-hmm. Jess. Rasputin, yep.
Musk is like Rasputin. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, messing around with the state, you know.
Making huge promises.
Yeah, here's the specific reporting that Trump gave Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, who gave those representatives, whom nobody elected or have little oversight, access to the internal federal payment system that just disperses trillions of dollars each year and Medicare benefits, according to the New York Times. Now, I don't, you know, I've done...
These people haven't been vetted, I am sure.
No, man. Don't worry.
One of them, I understand.
Harvey, he's rich.
And as a college student.
Oh, come on.
That was what the news report included that I read, actually two or three of them. I mean, this is just pure madness. It's wild. and we're all being treated as if we're at a circus, you know? That's basically.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin Green Bay, joining me for this hour. You can do so as well. So Harvey, it seems like a show. I think it's a scam. It's a lot of bluster. What was now all these tariffs, with the exception of China, we don't know about China yet, but Mexico and Canada have now been extended for 30 days. And one of the other, some of the reporting that I thought was interesting, that when Donald Trump tweeted out or truthed out his conversation with the Mexican president, Harvey, that she brought up, that he did not, was that one of the promises was that the U.S. would stop the flow of guns from America, from the United States of America to Mexico. Now, for some reason, that one was left out of Donald Trump's messaging. But Mexico brought it up, and certainly it's a thing. And some of the reporting I've seen is like anywhere from 50 to 80% of the guns that are used in Mexico are come from this country. I mean, a big number. So there's a lot of illicit trade back and forth. Harvey, do you think that matters at all?
Well, I think it matters to the extent that she was able to get concession by him that we have yet to confirm in terms of the American media, which tells us something about the American media. I mean, at least they reported on what she said. Question is, don't they have any way of knowing if that's true or not?
You would think, right? You got an agreement, you got a contract, you got a signature, you got something we can go on. And beyond all of this, and to my point and pushback on the megas, it's like, okay, what, the drugs and migration, Harvey. That was the excuse, right? This is why we need to do this. Well, come on, man. How many migrants are coming from Canada? I don't buy that for a minute. And even so, then if that were to be the case, then what's your metric? How do you measure success? Is it a certain percentage of decrease in the flow of drugs and migrants? And what percentage is it? And what are the levels? I mean, the whole thing is just, it's just willy-nilly. It's shoot from the hip.
Of course it is.
Yeah. And it doesn't. So the success, and we only got a minute left in this one, Harvey, and I'll let you get your response in on the other side. The success is not measured. It's a feeling because they're not articulating.
Well, actually, there is, I'll say, be quick. Yes. There is one way to measure the success. You got to watch the price of fentanyl.
Watch the price of fentanyl. All right, man. No, I know, but I mean, come on. Probably, and I know there's variations to it, but the stuff doesn't take a lot to get the hook, right? And people, Americans, a lot of people going back and forth, can smuggle a little bit in your car. Yes, there are the massive smugglers that go on. There's also everybody bouncing back and forth from the border. Folks, you're listening to the Dominic Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Come back with us, Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. We're going to talk a little history lesson coming up next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back to the Dominic Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me this hour. You can do so as well, 855-752-4842. I did see, as we're talking right now, about these tariffs being paused for both Canada and Mexico. Now, Mexico said they'd send 10,000 troops to the border. And now we have some confusion whether or not Canada said they would do so as well. NBC News is reporting for this 30-day pause that certainly, yes, Mexico will send 10,000 troops to the border. And Trudeau said that nearly, quote, 10,000 frontline personnel are and will be working on protecting the border, quote, unquote. And he signed a directive on organized crime and fentanyl that will be backed by $200 million. So 10,000 frontline personnel are and will be working on protecting the border.
I have to say, I must say, there is a, I should have Googled it while we were in break, the length of the Canadian US border and what 10,000 troops would mean right. along that stretch of border. Where are they going to put them, right? That's where are they going to put them? I mean, this whole thing is I don't know. It's just, it's so crazy. It's serious business, but it's hard to take seriously given the kinds of the ways in which these things are transpiring. And by the way, in case anyone is on Twitter who's listening, according to what was just sent to me, anyone who criticizes the Trump administration will be suspended from Twitter. But I haven't verified its veracity.
Okay, all right.
I have not verified it.
But we'll check that out. My understanding, according to my Google search, the border between the United States and Canada is 5,525 miles long. So if you divide 10,000 active or 10,000 personnel by 5,525, that's one personnel for every 1.8 miles, Harvey.
Right. Or two if they work in ships on a 2 mile. On a, you know.
I came back from Mexico not so, I'm sorry, from Canada not so long ago when a trip up to BC, a beautiful country up there. And you can still kind of smell the fires. It's crazy times, you know. Yeah. But we came back and we drove through some of the national parks on the way back, and we stopped at the border. And it was as you were talking during the break, it was like a little shack, one little joint, you know, and no inspection, no anything. Guy came out and wasn't even going to hit our passports, but we had the kids with us, and they wanted to get the stamp, you know, like, can we please have the stamp so the kids, you know. It was super low key and totally chill. And could I have, you know, stuffed 10 pounds of fentanyl in my kid's diaper? I mean, maybe. But that's the kind of stuff that additional troops is not going to stop unless you check everybody, every time, everything, everywhere. You know, it's just as long as there's a demand for that, for the drugs in this country, there's going to be a supply.
They'll start digging tunnels from underneath the Canadian border, right?
855-752-4842. Hell, Scott Walker, former governor of the state of Wisconsin, thought we needed to build a northern wall. We need a northern wall.
Did he? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yes, it's true. You can Google it. Let's get some callers in. Susan from McFarland got a question for our guest, Harvey Kay. Hey, Susan, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi. Well, first of all, I just want to comment. I wonder if Trump spoke Spanish to the president of Mexico. But anyway, that's kind of a...
No, he didn't.
Anyway, if he did anything, it was pig Latin.
Right.
Probably. But I was just wondering, because this is really serious stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. the things that they're allowing Elon to do is so... I mean, we all can chuckle at it, but it is so serious that... I feel like this fire hose is just washing me over every day. And I need it, you know, I mean, we can vote here and all that, but how do we get people to notice us in Washington, the Republicans, to stand up for this? Because it's going to take the Republicans to do that. It's not going to take the Democrats because, you know, the Republicans own the Congress right now. So it's like, how do you stop this? I mean, it's literally awful.
Well, it is strange to me that there isn't at least some forces left, some folks left in the Republican Party who are not threatening to bolt the party for the Democratic side of the aisle, at least on these kinds of questions. That's what's astonishing me. And I mean, one can only hope that, in fact, a few of them, I mean, you know, I don't trust Susan Collins or Murkowski from Alaska to necessarily do the right thing. But they often pretend like they're on the verge of doing the right thing. And when is it that they're going to actually do it? And that's the question. And what can we make? What can they do? Well, I read today that some U.S. senators who are on the Democratic side of the aisle are at least beginning to exercise their right to block appointments, to make it difficult for them to even bring appointments before congressional committees for, in quotes, an inquisition of sorts. Now, I mean, the Democrats, you know, I don't even care if the Democrats get it together on a grand scale. At least let's find a few Democrats who are going to make noise that can then attract other people to them. I mean, that's all we can depend on. We don't have any other force inside of Congress but the Democrats to make it happen. And honestly, and I think it's really, truly tragic, Bernie does seem to have become a rather marginal figure in all of this.
855-752-4842. AOC has been making some noise, and like we continue to, you know, magnify what she's saying.
Yeah.
Annie from Watertown, you'll have the last word this segment. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Okay, I guess. Well, we got to speak up and call, even if I don't think it would do any good to call Scott Fitzgerald or any of mine. But
hey, every little bit helps, Annie. Every little bit helps.
Yeah. What I found, I really came to understand the idea of rabbit hole today, and I don't know if it's for good or bad. But,
okay.
But, I went on the Social Security Administration website and the CDC website. I didn't check out others. I heard there's others. And instead of the American stars, instead, there is the first Confederate flag with 9 stars and 9 or 11 stripes. It differs there. And some have it, some don't.
Hmm.
Some people have gone on there and not found it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, Annie. I'm looking at, and sorry, I got to cut you short here. We're coming up to a hard break, but I am on the SSA.gov website right now, and I do not see anything other than an American flag and the Social Security Administration symbol with like a eagle with USA underneath it. So I'm not seeing that. But thanks for the heads up, Annie. If you do it, take a snapshot of it. Send it over. 855-752-4842. Come back with us. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. What do we got to do? We got to claim American history. Let's talk about that on the other side. Welcome back to the Dominic Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-757. Having a little fun today, our pal Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me to the top of the hour. You can do so as well. Harvey, before we get on to how you're feeling these days, man, a little concerned about you from the text. Annie had called in concerned about what she saw on the Social Security Administration website, SSA.gov. And I looked at him like I was looking for like a Confederate flag or something like that, and I did not see that. But she had sent some images to us, and I've looked a little further, a little closer at the SSA.gov website. In the upper left of the website, there is the American flag. However, that American flag on the upper left of the SSA.gov website has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 stars. 9 stars. I'm like, well, what does that mean? So I did another Google search, and one could assume that perhaps those 9 stars symbolize the first 9 states to secede from the Union at the beginning of the Civil War. Annie from Watertown. Yeah, I see it. I see what you're saying. There's only 9 stars. That seems strange.
Mm-hmm. 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 Why change that? Hmm?
What?
Right.
And the Social Security site?
SSA.gov, yes, has American flag with 9 stars in it. That is correct. I can verify it. I took a picture of it. It's there as we speak. So thanks for the heads up. We'll let other folks perhaps ponder the relevance and meaning of that and how long mm-hmm. that's been there. I'd like to see some pages from like last year and see what that is. But in the meantime, Harvey K., let's talk about how you're feeling, man. I'm a little concerned. I thought perhaps you told me that you were feeling a little dulled these days, man. What do you mean by that?
Well, let's start with the fact that for at least, I'm lost track of time. How long has he been president now? Yeah, 2 weeks?
This is our third week. We're in our third week.
Third week. Yeah. I mean, look, I fully confess that my head's been spinning. I mean, we're bouncing back and forth trying to keep up with all of this stuff, which is happening moment to moment. In fact, I forget what it was I saw during the break of breaking news. Okay. Oh, I saw the breaking news. Now they're looking into breaking up the education department.
Hmm.
Okay. I mean, so we'll see what happens by tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we got a. Yeah. I actually got a hint that we were expecting an executive order to end the federal Department of Education today.
Yeah, all right.
Actually, so. I saw that version too. So you know, I was trying to be less scary in my report. Yeah, I mean, so all of this is just—it's gotten to the point of sort of dulling me. Now, when I say dulling me, I mean my anger is deep inside of me, Mike. But my anger is not. I go through this. I've said this for years. Republicans acted like I expected post-Reagan Republicans to act. Trump is acting like I really expect Trump and his cohort to act. If you okay, mm-hmm. Especially given the. I never expected the Musk to have the role in standing alongside of government that he has, practically inside of the White House. I mean, all those truly perverse images that people produce for Twitter about their relationship,
yeah.
Trump and Musk. I mean, those are the kind, look. But with all that, I mean, so there's a deep anger, but I'm dull in my sense of what do we do? People say, what do we do now? And I said, well, there's not the best thing is, and I'm getting reports around the country, it is happening, is that on the local level in cities like Chicago, that's where I got the major report from a former student, there is activity on the ground to protect people, to try to maneuver around the orders, okay, to read the orders carefully to see how they might be interpreted at the ground level differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Spanish Empire, for the several centuries of the Spanish Empire, there was something that the viceroys in Latin America could say publicly, which would license them, viceroys being the sub-kings of who represented the king. They could say, obedezco pero no cumplo, I obey, but I do not comply. And it struck me that it may well be that our best hope is to find federal officials who are willing to start sounding like Spanish Empire viceroys. I mean, it's really the case where you don't know what's coming next. You don't even, and you have, I just hope somebody's keeping a list. So if we ever get back into office with a reasonable government, they can start undoing all of this mess. But so I don't know what one does overnight or what one does in the immediate sense. I can only leave that to people who are more directly engaged on the ground with these kinds of questions. But what's been on my mind that I've been telling you is something that I actually wrote about in 2016, almost immediately after Trump won in 2016. And that was, and the Democrats did nothing to address it. I published it at a major website. I was one of Bill Moyer's most important or most active writers back in the years that he had his television show and his website. And I said that it was imperative for progressives, and I've used this word on the cover book, to take hold of American history and to talk American history. That is, I'm not saying that they should be teaching as in a classroom. That's a history that really does need to stick to a more critical kind of, which Trump will outlaw eventually, I'm sure, a critical story so that students understand the contradictions of American history. But progressives had to stop, especially further to the left, my comrades on the left, number one, stop trashing the United States. That's essential. You stop trashing the United States. Okay. It's a knee-jerk reaction so that when the likes of Reagan and his cronies, right through to the likes of Trump, created a nostalgic image of the past that left out any sense of what the past was about, the immediate response on the part of the left, of which I am a part, was to trash the United States. Okay. And it found its way in many ways, into the public realm in a way that did make the left and the entire, you know, sort of progressive end of the spectrum seem to be almost anti-American. The fact is that we had a better history to offer, not a counter history, but a better history. The history that begins really inside of the American Revolution, okay, which for all of the, you know, contradictions of the revolution and for all the things it left undone, developed, projected, and made a promise that was inscribed first in the Declaration and then in the preamble to the Constitution and in many ways also in the Constitution if one goes deeply into it. And similarly, through the course of American history, it became what Abraham Lincoln turned to, what FDR turned to, what JFK, LBJ in their best moments all turned to. And that is to start recalling that promise, number one, promise of equality and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's absolutely crucial. And then beyond that, to remember that in every generation in American history, there has been a movement, a struggle on the part of Americans, both native born and newly arrived, to try to secure the promise. And in the struggles to secure that promise, history was made. Okay. And the fact is that instead of countering with how awful the American history has been, which, yeah, I'm not denying the contradictions. I'm not denying right. the oppression, the exploitation, sure. and the tragedies. But the point is, we have to remind ourselves and remind our fellow citizens, number one, of the ways in which we achieved and brought an end to slavery, secured the women's right to vote. And it wasn't from the top down, it was from the bottom up. Now, doing that, Democrats, generically speaking, should be identifying them with the best of American history, okay? But when's the last time you heard an American progressive, well, Democratic politician talk about history other than to throw out the term the soul of America, which, by the way, stop. I don't want to hear anyone talk about the soul of America. I want to hear about the struggle for America. Have you ever heard in recent times anyone, but maybe a conservative, try to hijack history to mention Thomas Paine? Has anyone talked about, who's talked about the likes of Lincoln or the likes of FDR? I mean, we haven't heard Democrats talk about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So my point is that it's time for Democrats, especially the progressives among us, and no less those of us on the left, to be promoting a historical memory, which basically offers a narrative and reminds people of what it takes to bring an end to that which we do find abhorrent. And so that's been on my mind. Now, I say that, and I've done my best. I've written about it, and I've produced a comic book about it, okay? But it is the case that the Democrats just don't do it. You didn't even hear anyone running for the Democratic chair, or whatever the title is of that office, in speaking in terms of what the Democratic Party at its best has been. Mm. So anyhow.
Folks, you're listening to The Dom Salve Show. That is Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay. Harvey, I love what you're saying, man. I truly do. And I wonder, you know, in the worst of times, in the times that as we would look back and talk about the oppression, the inequality and those kinds of things, and put it in that very similar framework, because the lack of pursuing our life and liberty and pursuit of happiness, when we're not engaged, when we're not doing that, this is where we fail. These are the things that happen when we're not in that pursuit. I'm not talking about trashing this country. I'm saying when we don't recognize and appreciate and lift up the struggle and the basic understanding of the foundation of this country, which is, for me, we the people in pursuit of life, liberty, and our pursuit of happiness. When things go south, it seems those things are kind of thrown out the door, Harvey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the other thing is that story that I wish we would be recounting and encouraging might itself encourage people to demand more and not necessarily to say, nothing we can do about it, okay? Or for that matter, to turn to the likes of the demagogues like Donald Trump. Well, the assumption is I can't do anything, so we need a guy like Donald Trump because he'll fight.
Right.
He'll fight. I mean, it's dangerous to lack the historical memory, which is the true story of the United States, the radical and progressive story of the United States.
Well, historical memory implies that it was known to begin with, Harvey. And I'm not clear that we could, you know, sit up here and artfully make that argument. I think for a lot of folks, putting it in that kind of context would be perhaps the first time they've heard it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I'll go back to my man FDR, if you don't mind.
Yes.
He never failed to give a speech which didn't sort of conjure up the America's historical past in a progressive way. There were those who came to call him America's history teacher in chief because he was doing it so often. I mean, when he went before the American people, or went before Congress with a message, he always would grab hold of the past in order to, if you like, bolster his arguments about what he wanted to do in the New Deal. I mean, when he first was running for office in 1932, He talked about the original social contract, the Declaration of Independence, and how it had been usurped, or not usurped, it had been basically crushed, that social contract, by the industrial titans of the Gilded Age. I mean, there are ways of going about it so you don't sound like you're being a pedagogue,
right?
Okay, or pedantic is a better way of putting it, but that you're really sort of reaching deep in. And I do think Americans may not have the details in their minds, but they have a sense of the American story. And if it's not encouraged, if it's not cultivated, one can find the likes of Reagan and Trump trying to create an image of the past, which leaves out the story of the struggle, which makes it out as if God made it all happen.
And it is a struggle. That story needs to be told. And I'm very curious on, and as every generation has their struggle, what this generation is going to do. You know, if people decide to do nothing, which is a choice, to sit on their hands and let somebody else worry about it, well, then we get what we get. And in this case, it's Donald Trump. In other cases, it's been much worse for our American history. Folks, you're listening to the Dominic Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, coming back for one final segment. And you know how we roll. It's the last segment of the day. You got to tell us something good. That means you, Harvey. That means you, Jess. That means you, callers, 855-75-CIVIC. Come back with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dominic Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay, for one final segment. Harvey, thanks for sticking around. You know, we do the tell me something good thing right now. This is just a great idea, and I do love it. So, folks, please participate. I'll start.
Oh,
yeah, I'm gonna start because I want to ask Harvey some questions after this, but we'll all do our thing and then we'll continue on. I won my weight bet this month, man. So I'm in a weight bet with a couple other buddies of mine.
What?
A weight bet. So we weigh ourselves, and then at the first of every month we reweigh ourselves.
Okay.
And whoever lost the most or gained the least, it depends on the situation, is the winner of the bet. And I've been just getting jammed the last couple of months, so I finally won the bet.
Mazel tov.
Yeah. What's that?
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yes, yes. I thought it was a result of. I'm like, result of.
Now I'm worried. Now I'm worried about you.
Fine living, of course. I
mean. Finally ditched all the cookies.
Most of them. Yeah. No more frosted cutouts. So that helps. That helps. All right. You go, Jess.
While I took some time off, 2 days ago, I made a huge batch of chili. This is something that I like to do a couple times a year.
I've had some of that chili.
Yes, you have.
Describe your chili, please.
Okay, so I make a turkey chili with lots and lots of green peppers. I've got jalapenos, serranos, and habaneros for heat.
Whoa.
Lots of beans of many varieties. Always start with kidney beans and garbanzo beans, and then whatever else looks good and interesting. Small mountain of onions, tons of garlic.
Oh, yeah.
And wow. Just let it simmer on the stove for as many hours as possible. And it's just...
That sounds like the richest chili I have ever encountered.
Oh, it's so good.
So good.
It's so good.
It sounds wonderful.
It's a full day's worth of work. It's like 8 hours of chopping and mixing and stirring and tending, but it just It helps me put all of my thoughts in order. It helps me feel like I have a little bit of control over something. And there's something very, very therapeutic about using a knife to chop things up into tiny, tiny pieces.
Wow.
For many hours.
I have been the lucky recipient of some of that chili, and it is good stuff. So if you have a little one left over, you don't got to freeze. Just bring it over. I'll have some of that.
He's hungry. He hasn't been eating for months.
This is what I'm saying, Harvey.
Yeah.
All right, man. Harvey, you got something good you want to share with the crew?
Mine is trivial, but I have a follow-up if you want something more significant. Mine is trivial. I, too, people used to talk about escape into the movies. I don't know if you know that expression.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I escape into Netflix series.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, there comes that moment where I can't take it anymore. I've got to just tune out. And this past week has seen first the return of their second season of two of my favorite series. One is Night Agent.
Night Agent.
And the other one is The Recruit. Okay. And I binged on them. But I found out that this week Wild Cards is coming back to CW, and I'm just giving you those names. Mm-hmm. I'm not bragging about my taste. I'm just telling you that to me is escape into the Netflix type series.
Excellent. Good to know. I'm always looking for some escape because I've been watching reruns of Archer for crying out loud. So I need something new. All right, Harvey, just a couple more minutes left. Talk about something good. Every generation, as we were talking about what to do now, and everyone's generation has their struggle, has their way. How do you think this generation is going? What do you see, and what do you define as the age group of this generation that has to step up and have their part?
Well, we all like to say that we've seen a lot of promise in the younger or youngest generation.
I am not a role model, Harvey. Okay.
But I also have to say that I think the failure of the Democrats over these too many years has also contributed to a great deal of cynicism.
Mm.
So it may be true that there is a sort of current of activism and current of hope that prevails. But I'm concerned that on the grander scale, there's this sort of cynicism that's taken hold. And I just worry about that. But that's not a good thing. Let me give you a good thing.
Yes.
The good thing is that we still have the words of Thomas Paine. And when Martin Luther King Jr. would get depressed about the state of the civil rights movement, he would turn to one quote by Thomas Paine in particular. We have it in our power to begin the world over again. And he garnered hope from that. And I think everyone should keep that in mind. We have it in our power to begin the world over again.
We have it in our power to begin the world over again. Thomas Paine, Harvey K. And every minute of every day, Harvey. I mean, literally. You know what? And if you didn't do it last second or last 10 minutes, you can do it the next 10 minutes. It's an opportunity every second of every day. So I do take heart in that as well. And I always appreciate you coming around, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Folks, stick around. We're going to have Pete Schwabba with Nightlight is coming up next. And we got a big week. I'll be off on Friday of this week. Okay, we got that. Jess is back on the board. And we'll get our normal crews in here. We'll get James Santel rolling in here. I'll see if we can get back to Earl again and hopefully... We're going to have, Matt Rothschild, is he done gambling or is he still bird watching?
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Folks, thank you for listening to the Dom Salvi Show. Have a wonderful evening. Harvey, thank you once again.
I'll plan
on seeing you next Monday, my friend. Just welcome back. Appreciate all your hard work. Hope you had a great time off, and I love having you back on the board. And folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. Stick around. Pete Schwabba coming up next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.